Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're going to wrap up the high school golf season, or at least start our season wrap-up coverage. It came to an end last week as the Carbon Dinos finished third overall. The Emory Spartans grabbed a top 10 finish. They were sitting number 7 after the first day. They competed very well after finishing 5th overall in the region. We're going to start with Emory today. We'll transition into Carbon tomorrow. Joining us right now to recap the Emory season, we have head coach Casey Edgehouse. And coach, it's great to get you back on today. Thank you.
Great to be on.
Coach, it's over with. It comes to a close and Emory finishes 10th overall. I know going into the state championship meet, the idea is always get to that second day, and that's exactly what the boys did. In fact, you guys set 7th place going into day 2.
Yep. Yeah, they came out and played the way we were hoping to with the wind that we had up there. It was pretty tough conditions, and the boys went out and played pretty dang good golf and got us into that 7th spot going into day 2.
I think that just looking at where you guys were based off of the score is proof to just how difficult the 3A classification really is. So you guys shoot a 313 day 1. And, Coach, I'm going to go back like 6, 7, 8 years ago. A 313 puts you top 3 in contention going into day 2. But again, we know just how talented this region is, or this classification. And Richfield goes 279. I know Morgan goes 278. Carbon goes 291. Those scores aside, to shoot a 313 at state, that's quite the accomplishment.
Yeah, it was great for us. Anything on sub 320 for us is a huge win. We went out and we actually were ahead of Delta, a couple of the guys that we've been chasing all year in region. So we went out and played a great first round, and we just didn't quite have the guns for the second day, but I was super proud of the boys for going out and really pushing hard that first day and getting us to day 2 and putting us in a good spot.
What was the team reaction, Coach, after day 1?
It was high hopes. We definitely knew that we weren't going to be chasing the leaders, the top 3 or 4, but we really thought we could get into that 5 spot. Had some good hopes because the wind was howling. 20-mile-an-hour crosswinds makes that tough, that course pretty tough. So we figured we could get a little bit better weather and hopefully throw up another low 200 or low 300s number and give ourselves a chance to get in that 5 or 6 spot.
So as you prepare going into day 2, what does that look like? Right. So for someone who's never been around, because I've never been around live and in color for the 3A state championship meet or 2A, whatever it is, I've never been to a golf championship meet. So after day 1, how do you handle that as a coach? What are some of the things you like to do that night?
Just kind of go over some of the kids definitely have some swings that they wish they could get back and some holes that we really struggled on. So you can go back through the live scoring and see which holes we struggled on the worst and talk to the boys about what we need to work on going into day 2, what changes we're going to need to make with our swings. And we just kind of make a game plan for day 2. So it's the live scoring really helps, because then we can see, okay, that we shot plus 11 on that hole. Why did we shoot plus 11? And there was a couple holes that really they really got us. I think the one par 5, I think it's hole number 13, I think everybody hit one in the water on day 1. So we were like, stay away from the water, get a good game plan for day 2, and then just let the kids go out and make good decisions. That's the hardest thing, is having the kids make good decisions as they go around the course.
There is a little bit of a drop-off going into day 2, so you go from a 313 to a 340. What was the biggest reason for the drop-off in 27 strokes?
Probably the biggest thing was just there was some poor choices made. We had a pretty decent game plan, and I think we just missed a couple shots that could have kept us without having to take penalty drops and some decisions around the greens. Just poor decisions, I would say, is what we did. And the conditions were bad. I mean, it rained pretty much the entire time we were there, so it was rainy and cold, and the boys just walking 18 holes in the rain is not always great. So
I've always felt like when you go to a neutral course, and weather can, I think this is in any sport that's outdoors, if it's baseball, if it's softball, if it's football, if it's golf, whatever, anytime you go to a neutral site, weather can be the element that really evens the field if you're not as good as some of the teams in front of you. Is that fair in golf?
Yeah, it's probably more in golf than any other place. I mean, just because in baseball, you might have a dominant wind coming from left to right, but in golf, that changes each hole. So you might have to deal with a 20-mile-an-hour headwind, and then you have a 20-mile-an-hour tailwind, and then a crosswind. So every single swing, it makes a difference as you go throughout the course. So it definitely makes a huge difference in golf.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Casey Edgehouse as we recap the 3A state championship from a week ago. Coach, I do want to talk about some of the individuals, and you and I were kind of in contact as you guys were competing, and I asked you about Champ Justice, who had just played really some phenomenal golf down the stretch for this team. I was really excited to see what Champ could do at the state tournament. Ends up tied for 31st overall, goes 75, and then goes 83 in day two. How did you assess the way Champ performed?
Champ has been playing great all year and just continually getting better. Champ's work around the greens, his ability to get up and down is pretty spectacular. He doesn't hit a lot of greens in regulation, but he makes a lot of pars because his wedges around the greens are really, really good. So when you have a day that your wedges aren't as good as they normally are, and you're having to rely on those shots and to get up and down on a lot of missed greens. If you're not getting up and down, then the score kind of goes up a little bit. He missed a couple greens, had a couple chips that just didn't go his way. So he still played great. He just didn't make those up and downs that he normally does.
And then you guys get a pretty solid performance from Dempsey Toomer. I know Dempsey, being a senior, this is always kind of a special time, right? You get to compete one last time, and he finishes in a tie for 35th place overall, goes 78 and 82. We can talk about Dempsey's performance, Coach, but also what he's meant to this program and how he's performed for you since you've taken over.
Dempsey's been pretty much my rock since he was a freshman. I mean, he played varsity all 4 years, really has a knack for golf and loves it. And so it's a loss. I know that there was some emotions on the last green when they finally realized that, hey, that was my last high school match that I'm going to be playing in. And you still play golf, but it's just a different atmosphere when you're playing as a team, playing for a team and then for yourself. It's hard when that's done. But he's for sure been my rock for the last 4 years, and he's going to be a big hole to fill. So we're hoping that we can find some kids that have the same desire and drive that he does, and get him out of the course and have them fill that spot.
Let's talk about Alex Hansen as well, Coach.
Yep, same thing with Alex. I was walking down the last fairway with Alex, and he said, "Coach, it's been a good run," and it has. These kids are like my own, so it's hard. I get a little emotional even just thinking about it, but it's hard not to have those kids around anymore. They spent a lot of time over the last 4 years at the golf course, and being around them and just the good kids that they are, it's hard to be done with that. But he played good. Once again, just some bad decisions, some poor decisions that caused him to not shoot where we know he can be. But just good things in life are coming for these boys. They really work hard, and they have a good head on him, so I'm excited for him.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about the others here in just a moment, Coach, but I can hear it in your voice, and I feel bad for the adults who don't have any involvement or any care with rural high school athletics, because there is just something special about it. And hearing you talk about your seniors on this year's team, it personifies exactly what I'm talking about. What I say, there's just something special about rural high school sports, and you get to live that with these boys.
Yeah, for sure. These kids, they've been at my golf course for the last 8 years. And I've just been around them in passing, in the rural community. You always see them, and they're always good about saying, "Hey, coach, what's up?" And that's pretty special. I don't think you get that same vibe when you're playing in 5 and 6A. It's just, you don't have that same attachment to the kids. And it's awesome to be down here in the 3A and be able to work with these boys and have a good environment to have them in and then to have a good relationship with them.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Coach, you do get a top 50 performance from Bronx Olson as well. And again, here's an underclassman. We kind of group him in with Champ. These are two kids that you'll probably have to rely heavily on next season.
Yep. I was excited to see the underclassmen perform. I know that they always want to play better, but it's good to know that these boys have some experience at state, some experience coming down the stretch in region. Brendan played great. He actually pushed out one of my seniors that just started this year, Ethan Gilbert. But it's good for him to get in that situation. He has the ability to go low. Brendan, he just has a great swing. Just if we can fix some of his minor mistakes, his swing choices and maybe club choices, if we can kind of hone those in. And he's got a great swing, just strong, powerful, lengthy kid that's going to be a big help for us the next couple years.
So now that it's all said and done, Coach, and you start looking ahead, I'm sure you already have started looking ahead to 2025, what's the next step for this program? Because you guys continue to climb, and you guys continue to improve and just cross things off of the list. What's next?
Do you know what? I've actually just started. I was just putting together today kind of like a tournament list. Great things for these kids is to get them out in the junior PGA stuff that goes around through Utah and playing against their peers and playing against these better golfers. I feel like when you play against good golfers, you're just going to continue to want that and have that drive. So I've got a list of some tournaments that I want these boys to go out and play in. I think that'll help us as we go into next season, and then just have them work in the off season when they don't. A lot of the times the kids, last time they pick up a set of golf clubs is the last day of state, and then they pick up a golf club again until middle of July when we're getting our summer stuff going. So hopefully we can get them playing a little bit more in the spring. I've got a two-man simulator league that will run throughout the winter so they can continue to swing. So we should just try to minimize the length of time that they have to go in between playing. So that'll be the goal for this year.
And then I know for you, it really doesn't stop, because now that we're done with the boys, you got to start prepping for the girls' season, which will be here before we know it. And it's an entirely different beast, right? But still the same fight, just trying to improve the program and get to a new level.
Yeah, it's just trying to get the girls there. For some reason, girls' golf in Emory County has just not been a big popular thing. So we're just trying to get some girls from, maybe pull some girls from softball and let them let them come and play some golf with us. But it's just a different beast. The girls are a wholly, totally different animal, and they're super fun and it's exciting. But it's just I go from having 40 kids try out for high school for boys golf to hoping I can get a team together for girls. So we'll just keep recruiting and see if we can get some of these other girls to come and play some golf with us.
You know, Coach, it's always great to get you on. Always great to talk Emory High School golf. Before I let you go, what's going on right now at the Millsite course? What's next?
This fall has been so busy and so fun for us. It's just been super. The course is in great shape. The tournaments have went really good. Unfortunately, I think we got some colder weather coming starting next week. I think we're highs in the 40s, lows in the 20s. So we'll slowly start to brown up. And like I said, we're going to run that simulator league throughout the winter and should have some guys that are able to swing not only during the when they go down to St. George, but we can have them playing all winter long here at the Millsite.
Coach, always a pleasure to get you on the show. Again, thank you so much. Congratulations on another successful year, and I know we'll be talking again real soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Jordan.
That's Coach Casey Edgehouse, again, of the Emory High School golf team. You can get a complete recap of their performance at the state championship tournament right now. Just head on over to castlecountryradio.com. It's that simple. We're going to pause for just a moment. Can't wait for our next segment. We're going to be joined by Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher. We're going to talk about Game 1 of the World Series. We're also going to talk about the life and legacy of Fernando Valenzuela, who died last night at the age of 63 years old. Bill faced Fernando more than once, actually had really good numbers against Valenzuela, as he was a part of that Dodger-Giants rivalry and Fernando Mania. So I'm looking forward to this conversation. That's coming up next when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.